This week, American deaths in Iraq reached 4,000, a number which seems to have passed by almost expectedly. It was a story, of course, on mainstream news, but just another story, another Iraq story, and seems to be now considered par for the course. I'm now joined by Phyllis Bennis in Washington, D.C., to talk about the importance of the number 4,000. Phyllis, I've been watching the news, and of course the issue was noted in the news, but it's become a new norm.
It is a new norm, and it's partly because the question of the consequences of this war have remained so hidden from the American people, starting with the casualties. You know, people have been shocked by this, although perhaps not surprised that we're already at 4,000. A poll just a couple of weeks ago indicated that the majority of Americans think that there were less than 3,000 U.S. deaths. Part of the reason is the coffins are hidden. The return of the soldiers who have been killed in combat are hidden. There are people that are benefiting from this war. The war profiteering in this war has been astonishing. This is the first war since the Civil War where the U.S. has not had an anti-profiteering law. This is the first war that was not accompanied by a rise in taxes. So when we look at this as something in America's interest, this is nonsense. What it does show is the clear lack of distinction on this issue between the mainstream parties. None of the candidates from the Democrats or the Republicans are talking about ending the war.
All three of the potential next presidents of the United States have identified Iran as a threat to America's national interest. Obama, a few weeks ago, seemed to be open to accepting some kind of Iranian role in the region. His most recent foreign policy statement now actually seems to come closer to the McCain-Clinton position. How does America get out of Iraq and then leave Iraq under such influence of Iran? And that isn't that how they're defining America's national interest, that it can allow Iraq to come under such Iranian influence? And if that's the case, how does the United States ever get out of Iraq?
The reality is Iran and Iraq have been neighbors far longer than the U.S. has been a power in that part of the world. They have a huge border, historically a very porous and open border. During the years of Saddam Hussein's rule, particularly the years that the U.S. was backing Saddam Hussein throughout the 1970s and 1980s, the particularly Shia Iraqis found refuge in Iran, not in the United States. They weren't allowed into the United States. They found refuge in Iran. They married Iranians. There are mixed families. There are also mixed Shia-Sunni families who see Iran as a neighbor. Iran does over $1 billion worth of trade every year with Iraq.
And Ahmadinejad was welcomed in Baghdad very recently.
Ahmadinejad was just on a visit to Baghdad, which was far more open than any U.S. official has ever been in Baghdad during this occupation.
And Vice President Cheney is in the Middle East in the last few days, apparently trying to rally support for further isolation of Iran.
This is a very dangerous moment because we have not only Vice President Cheney in the Middle East ostensibly designing his trip around encouraging Israeli-Palestinian peace, something he has never involved himself in before, at a moment when his clear goal, because of who he's meeting with in the region, is designed to ratchet up again this sense of urgency for a U.S. attack, perhaps a U.S.-Israeli attack on Iran. You combine that with the resignation of Admiral Fallon. Admiral Fallon resigned specifically because he disagreed with the Bush administration on the question of what to do in Iraq. He was opposed to the so-called surge and what to do in Iran. He has told Al Jazeera directly, and he has made very clear that he does not support a military strike against Iran. Some have actually guessed that his resignation would signal that the U.S. is moving even closer towards the possibility of a strike in Iran, and that's a very dangerous reality.
Very, very dangerous moment, and I think all eyes should be on the Vice President Dick Cheney.
We're very concerned about the possibility of a real strike, a military strike against Iran, despite all the opposition. We know that this is an administration that has been reckless in the past, has attacked other countries in violation of international law, against international consensus. It could happen again. We've drafted a primer called Iran in the Crosshairs, focusing on this question of how to prevent a possible war with Iran, such a dangerous moment. And people can receive a copy of this by contacting the Institute for Policy Studies at info@ips-dc.org.